And you're listening to The Science Show on RN from Adelaide to Los Angeles. And that's where an Italian-born researcher has shown, remarkably, that if you starve cancer as you hit it with chemo, the results are twice as good. Walter Longo at the University of Southern California has just published new papers on this promising approach.
What we found in this paper just published was that in a wide variety of cancers, we had 18 different types of cancers. 8 of them we tested in animals, several of them were human cancers in animals, that fasting was making it a lot worse for the cancer cells, particularly in combination with chemotherapy. But also surprisingly, in some cases, for example, for breast cancer, cycles of fasting were working as well as chemotherapy.
So if you're giving the chemotherapy to get rid of the cancer, it will have an effect. But if you're fasting, it's even more substantial an effect, and you're showing now with your latest research that they're enhancing each other.
Right. And in some cases, much more. So, for example, in neuroblastoma, very aggressive children's cancer, the fasting alone did a little bit, not very much. The chemo alone did a little bit, not very much. When we combined them, we got 20 to 40% long-term cancer-free survival, pretty much cure, right? So after 1 year, 6 months, 1 year, the animals were cancer-free and remained so.
So out of all these cancers, most of them had that effect, is that right?
The great majority of them had that effect. So there was either fasting alone or fasting plus chemo was consistently better than the chemo alone.
How far away are the clinical trials to see whether this has an effect on patients actually combining the two and therefore either getting rid of the cancer or reducing it?
So we actually started the clinical trial 2 years ago, and this is led by Tanya Dorf at the USC Norris Cancer Center. And the safety component, the phase one, on 18 patients, should be done in the next couple months. So we will be able to report whether it's safe or not. And the good news is that that is the number one concern, right? It's free. Right. So if it's safe and it's free, then you can see how you would not necessarily have to wait for the particular clinical trial that might come in 17 years from now. Right. Let's say that somebody has pancreatic cancer and treatment with a specific drug. That particular clinical trial might not occur for many years. So once it is determined that the treatment is safe, then it's up to the oncologist together with the patient to decide, is this something that might be worth trying right now, even before the clinical trial is finished?
So you're saying it's free. Obviously, not feeding people doesn't cost anything. In fact, you save money. It's not just free. You make money.
You make money. There you go. Yeah. It's actually good. It's a source of income.
Any idea why this system works?
Yes, so we spend a lot of time looking at why it works. And I think one of the key things is that most of cancer treatment has been really focused on the magic bullet, right? How do you get something that just goes and specifically kills the cancer cell? And so now we're talking about personalized specific treatments. And instead, what we looked at was basically confusion. Maybe the way to get all cancer cells, independently of what cancer they are, is to confuse them. Because as cancer gain mutations, they become a little bit better at growing in the wrong places, but they become a little bit dumber, right? A little bit less able to adapt to different environments. And starvation is one of the most extreme environments that you can encounter. So this is why we think we're showing that they're dying, because they're confused, they don't understand this environment, and they try to respond. They try to activate all kinds of pathways, for example, protein synthesis. They try to make more proteins, even though they're starving, right? And so in this process, they commit suicide.
Which is something that most cells are built for, but cancers avoid. That apoptosis, which is, you know, the cell death, which is built into them.
Exactly, yeah. So what's happening is that normal cells have seen they're very well adapted to starvation conditions. They know exactly what to do, and they can stay there for a long time. The average patient, most people don't know this, but the misconception is somebody can go a few days without eating. But the reality is for the great majority of people, we can go 40 days with just water, right? So then the normal cells know exactly what to do. The cancer cells have no idea. They evolved away from it.
Could this work possibly with even intractable cancers such as brain cancer?
Yes, in fact, that was one of the cancers we had in the paper, glioma, and it worked very well. And it was one of the cancers in which it worked almost as well, the fasting cycles almost as well as the chemotherapy. Together, they had additive effects.
Given the strength of the effect, would it be advisable even now, with the results of the clinical trial still pending, for people who are treating around the world, perhaps to start on this track?
Yeah, so there are many people that have already started years ago. In fact, it was interesting because in 2008, within one day of the publication, we already knew of at least three or four people that wrote to us and say, I already started. So within hours of the publication of this in the newspapers, people were doing it. Of course, we said, that's not a good idea, because they obviously had not gone to their oncologist. And that's very dangerous because, you know, it's medicine and it should be left to the oncologist or to a physician. So we think that now, yes, it'd be good for a patient to go to the oncologist and say, you know, maybe I'm running out of options, things are not working, or I'm extremely concerned about the side effect. They might give me a heart attack a year down the road. You know, some of these chemotherapy drugs are very toxic. And I know that, let's say, there's an 80% chance that I'll develop this problem, right? And so that patient should be able to go to the oncologist and say, what about this? And our hope is the oncologist picks up some papers and does some reading and then determines whether this is premature based on the condition of the patient or is something that they could do.
Is there a bounce back effect? In other words, where you've got slightly starvation, reduced cancers, and they've been knocked on the head by chemotherapy as well, but there's a lingering few cells. Can they then bounce back if the treatment is reduced?
Well, that's what usually happens with the chemotherapy alone. What we're seeing is that when you add the fasting, that is much less likely to happen, right? Probably because you give that extra push. So now you have a population of cells, each one of them, the chemotherapy itself actually creates a variation, right? So it generates in some sense, it can generate the one cell that then can escape and become resistant. And then you're in trouble if you get the resistant cell. What we're showing is that the fasting increases the chance that that one resistant cell is never generated, and if it is generated, it dies.
It's exciting stuff, isn't it?
We think so, and we're happy that it's starting to move into the clinics worldwide, actually. So there's at least three hospitals already running clinical trials on this, including Mayo Clinic and Leiden University in Europe. And we're starting several large programs in Europe for these studies and a variety of cancers. So I think, you know, both at the clinical level, but also we know there's probably several thousand people right now, based on the emails we received, that are already doing it. So we just hope that they do it with the doctor next to them.
Professor Valter Longo is a gerontologist at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles.